Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. It is your host, Joe Struther, and this is a new episode of the Average Joe Music Show. Super stoked about this episode, guys. I had a great, great conversation with my close friend, Kayla Norris. Kayla is a model from Michigan State University's magazine, Vim, and she is a great, great blogger as well as an expert at lo-fi music. So we talked all about lo-fi, the genre, where we think it's headed, and it was a really, really awesome interview, and I'm super stoked about it. So you guys definitely are going to want to stick around for the whole episode to listen to that. We're also talking Avicii's new album, as well as future Mr. Promethazine himself dropped an EP. So we'll dive into all that good stuff, as well as looking at news and notes from the music community, and also this week in music history. Keep it locked, guys. You're listening to the Average Joe Music Show. Wasn't necessarily a slow week, but we're still kind of waiting on the really big names to drop projects, and none of those came this week. So, you know, Chance is working on new stuff, Kanye's working on new stuff, Lana Del Rey, The Weeknd, Gambino, none of those projects dropped, but we still got some good music. So we'll dive into new albums that I liked that came out. The first one is going to be Zoo by Denzel Curry. This one, just the synths and the bass throughout were just on point. This is definitely Denzel Curry's best album to date. Songs on there include Ricky, which we'll touch on a little bit later, and Must Add Tracks. Wish featuring Kiddo Marv. Wish to me felt like you're posted up at a 90s barbecue, just, you know, you're with your family, you're having a good time. Definitely add Wish. That's a good song for summer. And then the last one was Birds, which had a really cool experimental beat, and then it had Rick Ross in there too, and Denzel Curry and Rick Ross going back and forth about how much Florida means to them, that rap community. So definitely check out Zoo by Denzel Curry. That's the first album I like. And then the second one is Tim by Avicii. Now, for those of you that know, Avicii unfortunately passed away this last year. And so Tim wasn't released by him. Rather, it was a lot of his unfinished projects that his family allowed his close producer friends to go ahead and release on behalf of Avicii. And so when I listened to the interview, it sounded like the producer friends of Avicii said that most of the tracks were almost 80% done, so their job was easy. It was just a matter of putting together the final mix there and then releasing it under his name. So some songs I liked from this album include Heaven featuring Chris Martin of Coldplay. I'm a huge Coldplay buff, so whenever Chris Martin unexpectedly hops on a song and features, I absolutely love it, and this one's no exception. Definitely had a lot of good energy in this song, and, you know, like Avicii's like original hits that helped him blow up, like Levels, it kind of had that kind of feeling to it, just a lot of good like vibes and energy in it. So Heaven was the first one I liked. Tough Love is another track off the album. It actually explored some sounds native to Indian music, and so it kind of had this Arabic feel, which was a little bit experimental, but I really digged it, and it went really, really well. So definitely check out Tough Love. It's really, really catchy. And then the last one was SOS featuring Allo Black, which I don't know what the heck happened to Allo Black, but he literally fell off the face of the earth for about 5 years. I mean, he was like everywhere in 2014, and then he just didn't do anything. But he comes back for this album, and I'm glad he did, because the feature on SOS was fantastic. So those are the two albums I really enjoy, Zoo by Denzel Curry and Tim by Avicii. Definitely check those out if you have not yet. In terms of new albums that I disliked, there's only one this week. Legendary by Tyga. Now, Tyga is an interesting artist for me. I feel like I'll listen to a Tyga song nowadays if it features like a couple other artists, like Startender, he's on there with Boogie with a Hoodie and Offset, and then Taste, which he released, which came off this album featuring Offset. But Tyga on his own is kind of trash. He hasn't really been relevant since 2012, when I was a middle schooler singing my heart out to Rack City. But he released Legendary, and it feels like he went into GarageBand, picked out hip-hop beat number 8, and just rapped about fucking bitches on this. So it really wasn't anything special. I mean, if you haven't listened to Tyga at all in the last few years, you're not missing too much. And with that, we're gonna dive into must-add tracks for the week. First one we got on my list here is Love Through the Computer. It's a Gucci Mane track featuring Justin Bieber. The instrumental kind of felt like an early 2000s track. It had that vibe to it. It was really, really catchy. They had the high-pitched, like, vocal hook in there in the background. It's just really, really catchy. And Justin Bieber, add auto-tune to anybody and it's gonna sound good. But it has a nice feel to like a summertime track, and they're singing about, you know, FaceTiming your boo thing, which kind of resonated with me, as that's something that I've done in the past. Keyword past. But Love Through the Computer was really, really catchy. I digged it a lot. And Gucci just has this swagger to him when he's rapping that I absolutely love. So Love Through the Computer is the first must-add track for me this week. I mentioned it before, but the second track for must-add is Ricky by Denzel Curry. This is just a summer banger. I just love the attitude on Ricky. It's just Denzel Curry rapping about, you know, his hometown and talking about the advice his dad gave him to trust his day ones, and his mom telling him to be careful with girls. And, you know, it's just this awesome feeling of him giving back to his community and giving them a shout out, as well as his dad, Ricky Curry, who really introduced him to the hip hop game. So it's kind of a cool little shout out to Curry's upbringings in Dade County, Florida. And the melody and the bass went perfect with it. It just had this swagger about it. And if you have not heard Ricky yet, I highly recommend. It wouldn't surprise me at all if it starts climbing the charts for the rap genre. So Ricky's the second track that I really like this week. The third one is Shotgun by Future. Now, Future dropped a full EP. It had its high moments, it had its low moments, but Shotgun for me just summed up everything that Future is as an artist recently. You had the piano in there, a really beautiful instrumental, and Future, man, it's just like when you hear Future's voice in this song, his fucking sad, auto-tuned, promethazine-laced voice, you just feel the pain, man. You can tell Sierra did a number on him, but Shotgun is really beautiful. I think it was a little long for what the track is. It gets a little repetitive, but it's still really catchy, and if, you know, it's 11:30 at night and you're thinking about the girl that did you dirty, or the guy that did you dirty for that matter, just let Future talk to you. Shotgun. Definitely recommend that song. And the last track that I have for must add is gonna be Bon Iver, Hey Ma. Now, this song was just super duper nostalgic for me. Like, the instrumentation just created a really comforting tone throughout. And when I was listening to this, I felt like I went back in time to when, like, I was just a little kid eating a PB&J, and I was worried about, you know, what was I gonna do that day? Was I gonna go play basketball or go swim? And that makes me sound like a very cliche white upbringing, which I definitely am. But Bon Iver did a really good job capturing the sentimentalness of the relationship that you have with your mom. It just, this song, listen to it, let me know what you think, Hey Ma by Bon Iver, but it really just made me want to, like, call my mom or, like, just go give her a hug. It was really, really sweet. So definitely check that out. Those are my must-add tracks. As always, let me know if I missed anything or if you want me to check out other tracks that dropped this week that you love. Radio Watch Music.
news and notes from the music community.
So it's definitely a slow week when it comes to news out of the music community, but there's still a few things that I'll highlight that I thought was noteworthy. First, foremost, we're going to check in on the Billboard Top 200 Albums and Top 100 Tracks. Old Town Road by Lil Nas X and Billy Ray Cyrus continues its dominance. It has been number one on the Hot 100 for 10 weeks now, and I don't see that changing for the next month or so, I would say, unless somebody drops something incredible. That song has just got too much clout behind it and too much of a fan base. So kudos to Lil Nas X. And when it comes to albums for the top 200, Centerpoint Road debuted at number one. It is an album by Thomas Rhett. I have yet to check it out. I'm admittedly not the biggest Yeehaw person, but you know, I can listen to it. It's just not my cup of joe, if you will. Apple is shutting down iTunes. This is a sad day. This is that when you look at what iTunes did for our generation in terms of listening to music and being able to listen to music on your iPod, wherever, it was revolutionary. A lot of good memories using iTunes. I remember distinctly downloading Soulja Boy and thinking I was the coolest person ever. So definitely RIP iTunes, gone but never forgotten. Jay-Z is hip-hop's first billionaire. Credit to Jay-Z. This is really, really cool. Check out, I believe it's floating around somewhere on social media. There is a big pie chart breaking down Jay-Z's accumulated net worth, and that man knows how to diversify himself. He's like working on his record label, he's got his music sales, he works on real estate, he's got Roc Nation, his sports agency. So I mean, he just knows how to manage his assets, and credit to him becoming the first hip-hop billionaire. DJ Khaled is prepared to hit Billboard with a quote monster lawsuit over a dispute he had with not having Father of Assad hit the number one spot on the Billboard Top 200. I did a little bit of digging on this, and he actually kind of cheated with this, and he's upset that his cheating didn't work, because Igor by Tyler, the Creator, was the album that hit the number one spot. DJ Khaled finished second, and he's mad because he worked out a deal with an energy drink company that for every energy drink that you buy, you got a digital copy of Father of Assad, which then would be credited towards him getting the number one spot. It would count as an album sale for buying this energy drink. So DJ Khaled is upset because Billboard disqualified 100,000 album sales because they were from the energy drink company. And he was very upset about that because he essentially put the fix in, and Igor still beat him. So I don't feel bad at all. I think DJ Khaled kind of seems like a crybaby. If you look, there's a little clip floating around on Twitter that he deleted from his Instagram, but basically saying how, you know, I make real music and there's people out here that are making not real music and it's all mysterious. And it's like, dude, shut up. Igor is better. We'll see what comes of it. I don't think he would win against Billboard in the court of law, but we'll see. We'll keep our eyes on this one. Last bit of news here. Justin Bieber made a public challenge on Twitter that he would like to fight Tom Cruise in an octagon UFC style setting. What the hell is that? He literally, like, on Sunday tweeted out, "Good morning, everybody, new music on the way," and everybody's like, "Oh, yay!" And then immediately following that, he's like, "Fuck Tom Cruise, let's fucking fight." Well, it wasn't exactly that, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but it was really out of the blue, and as of recording this, he's come out and said, no, it's just a joke, I'd probably get my ass whooped. I would die to see Justin Bieber versus Tom Cruise in, like, UFC, like, 300 or some shit. I think that would be absolutely hilarious. I don't know who'd win that. I think Tom Cruise has a little bit more martial arts experience, so I'd probably give it to Cruise, but He's like 5'7", so I think Jay Beebs has the height advantage, but alas, I don't know if we're going to get to see that fight. You and I have
history. Marty, you've got to come back with me. The day the
music died. This week in music history.
2002, American Idol premieres on Fox, a singing competition judged by three hosts, and it becomes one of the most popular network reality shows in television. It launched a number of careers, and I just have so many memories with this show. And I mean, there weren't a ton of careers launched, but I mean, you look at Kelly Clarkson, Carrie Underwood, and Jordan Sparks, like those are some pretty big names that got their start on American Idol. Man, I remember staying up super late and calling in like three or four times for my favorite contestant, making sure that they didn't get eliminated. But man, that was awesome. Back when Ryan Seacrest wasn't accused of sexual abuse, and Simon Cowell was crushing dreams, and Randy Jackson, you know, it's a no for me, dog. And whatever Paula Abdul did, I don't know what she did, but a lot of memories with American Idol. 1986, Ferris Bueller's Day Off hits theaters, and when Matthew Broderick leads a parade through downtown Chicago and performs Twist and Shout, the song actually returned to the top of the charts. Can you believe that? That's amazing. I think that's more of a credit to the Beatles' standing power, but Ferris Bueller's Day Off, an iconic 80s movie nonetheless. 1967, Peter Green leaves John Mayall's Blues Breakers to form Fleetwood Mac. He hired Mick Fleetwood to drum, and then soon after brought on Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks. God bless Fleetwood Mac, man. Iconic. Not only are they like an iconic classic rock band, but I mean just their staying power and their ability to adapt as a group. Like you look at like they have like their folky side, then they have their classic rock side, and then even they have the staying power into the 80s with the synthesizers. I mean, Fleetwood Mac, an absolutely legendary band, formed this week in 1967. 2002, Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones is knighted by Queen Elizabeth II. Man, that bar must be really low. No offense to Mick Jagger. I mean, do we call him Sir Mick Jagger then? That's the first I'd heard of that. I didn't realize he was a knight. Man, I don't know. Whenever I hear about Mick Jagger now, I immediately think to the John Mulaney sketch. I was like, yes, no. So I don't know if that's how he actually is, but Sir Mick Jagger, I guess, he was knighted this week, 2002. Finally, 1997, Puff Daddy, and now P. Diddy for all the little kids out there that didn't know he switched, dropped an album, I'll Be Missing You, which was a tribute to the notorious B.I.G. It hit number one in America, and it stayed there for 11 weeks, dominating the summer of 1997. R.I.P. Biggie, that's all I gotta say. Alright guys, so that's gonna wrap up music history for this week. And without further ado, we're going to dive into the interview that I had with close friend Kaylin Norris about lo-fi hip-hop and our thoughts on the genre and where we think it's headed in the future. We're talking lo-fi music, and really it's gotten popular in the last few years, specifically like the lo-fi like hip-hop.
Definitely.
But it's been around kind of a longish time. Like I feel like mid-2000s is when it started like... Mm-hmm. Getting traction. Like it's always kind of been around, but yeah, under the radar, but as of late it's kind of come around. So I mean, for those of the people that are listening that haven't really checked out lo-fi, how would you describe it to them?
I mean, the hip-hop beats are like, if you literally just threw like a hip-hop beat from a track down, but then I feel like a lot of DJs or people that produce the beats add like a familiar, like a comforting sound, like yeah, whether it's rain or like traffic or just mm-hmm, like people talking in the background. And it sounds kind of weird, but it's just almost like when you listen to it, you're like, okay, like I can bump to this, but it's also like relaxing because there are those like sounds that are like comforting and familiar. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
No, I totally agree with that. I think staticky is another mm-hmm, pretty yeah, prominent sound, but
It's really good music, mm-hmm. and, like, I like what you said there, is, like, you can bump it, but I feel like it's more, like, calming background music,
definitely.
You know, and, like, I think a pretty common trend is, like, you put that on, like, as you're doing, like, other things, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, I multiple times will, like, put it on and be cleaning my apartment, or just, like, cooking dinner, or, like, it's more one of those things that, like, if I just want to have music to just, like, it almost makes me more productive.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So if I want music to just, like, keep me going, you know, like, while I'm driving or mm-hmm. something, like, I put on lo-fi and I feel like I can just do the thing.
Right. It just, like, almost zones you out in
yeah,
a way and
definitely.
Just helps you focus.
Mm-hmm.
When did you first, like, start getting into lo-fi? Because, like, it's kind of a recent phenomenon.
Yeah, definitely. I think in 2017 I had seen something about the Chilled Cow channel, the, like,
oh, that's the
lo-fi hip-hop beats
that's
to
the,
chill and relax and study to or whatever.
Yeah, that's the really popular
yeah
one.
But I had seen something about that and I was like, I'm gonna check it out, because I was going through, like, I feel like part of the reason that channel specifically got so big was because of the recent, like, popularity anime style art has gotten.
That's
and
true.
Their like, background video is an anime-style, like, graphic.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's what attracted me to it. I was like,
yeah.
oh, that's, like, a sweet graphic. Like, I'm gonna go listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just started really enjoying the music, and it was really good to, like, study to, and it was really good to relax to.
Yeah.
Like,
uh-huh.
like, exactly what the description says. And so that's what got me into it. And then I started finding, I would just, like, it usually has, like, the name of a song, like, up in the upper right corner or something
uh-huh.
like that. So I would just, like, look it up, add it on Spotify, and
mm-hmm.
that's how I started finding more. But
heck
yeah.
yeah. Now, I like that you brought that up, like, you started looking up, like, songs and, like, artists and whatnot. So the thing I kind of like about it is there isn't, like, a notable artist
yeah.
per se in it. Like, it's all kind of, like,
mm-hmm.
more about the music itself rather than who's making it. But
definitely.
For those of you know, the people listening that want to check out some of it, do you have, like, some recommendations on artists to
definitely.
Get into?
One that I feel like some people might, to ease your way into it, I don't know. Do you have to ease your way into it? I don't know. It's not, like, scream hours.
I was going to say, it's not,
like,
death metal. Like.
No, like, but one that people might be familiar with, I think, a rapper rap to one of their background beats, POTSU, POTSU.
Oh, yeah.
They released a lot of really good mixtapes. Eevee, it's Eevee. They've dropped a lot of good mixes that I listen to. Ginseng has dropped a lot of good mixes. Chief. Has dropped a
I'm
lot of good mixes.
You, Chief.
It's it. Like,
that's
you got,
it,
just
Chief?
Call Chief.
Just
and
call
he'll
Chief.
Be like,
yo.
Drop some lo-fi.
Listen to this lo-fi, bro.
Like, I'm so relaxed right now. Let me just, like, send this over to you. But, no, it, like, those five. Did I mention five? Four or five? I don't know.
I can't
but
count, so.
I can't
I believe
anything.
You.
Yeah, those artists, I would say, those are the ones that really stuck out to me when I was starting to listen.
Gave you kind of an introduction. Mm-hmm. That'd be a good spot for people to start.
Yeah.
I like what you said about how there was, like, the anime connection.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's how you got introduced.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like that is definitely something we're gonna see more of in terms of, like, mixed media. Like, you watch something and
mm-hmm.
then, like, you listen to, like, the background music of that and you're like, oh, I wanna go check that out.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, do you see, like, anime continuing to kind of drive, like, its way in the music industry?
I feel like even just, like, Japanese, Chinese, Korean culture in general
yeah.
is kind of becoming a huge mainstream thing over here.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's kind of, like, it's not a bad thing, but it's also, like, you see artists like Ariana Grande, like, hopping on that way of getting, like, tattoos
yeah.
and, like, shaping, like, a whole single off of, like, that sort of culture
mm-hmm.
or just, like, the popular aspects of that culture.
Right.
And, so you see a lot of other people finding interest in that. And, I mean, just, like, with clothing brands and stuff, dropping, like, our Urban Outfitters has a bunch of, like, anime-style artwork t-shirts now that,
right.
I mean, I'm into them, and I'm sure everyone else is, so, like, I feel like it's really that anime-style art and everything is taking off in all aspects, like, fashion, music, and
mm-hmm.
Pop culture.
Pop culture.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
but I definitely think that's going to be the next big thing. Like, I know even some of the artists, like, that I mentioned, some of their EPs or their mixtape covers are, like, anime-style art. Uh-huh. And I feel like that's kind of what attracted me to, like, the certain albums, was I was like, oh, that artwork is really cool. But yeah, that's, like, me with anything. I'm like, oh, if that artwork is sick, like, I'm gonna check it out.
Right.
But no, I really think it's taking off. Like, the anime art style aspect of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is really
And to popular. All forms of pop culture, mm-hmm. like, with lo-fi and the music, and then, like, what you said about fashion, too. Like, when, like, I'm getting, like, an Instagram ad, I see a lot of, like, the Japanese cherry blossom,
yeah.
like, look, and I feel like it doesn't matter, like, what brand it is. I've just seen so many where, like, they have, like, the name of it and then, like, the Japanese name of yep. it, just because that lettering yeah. is such, like, an aesthetic mm-hmm. to it. So it'll be very interesting to see, you know, where that goes. And the other thing, too, is, like, a lot of, like, popular rappers and, like, athletes, like, really watch anime.
Yeah.
So, like, they're kind of going hand in hand
yeah,
in that
definitely.
Way.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you see, like, lo-fi going in, like, a certain way? Like, do you think it's just, like, the chill hop kind of, or...?
Well, I think, I don't know, because it just really is, like, the instrumentals that make lo-fi lo-fi.
Right.
I feel like it's that staticky, like, those comforting sounds, because it's not even just, like, hip-hop beats that I like from lo-fi. There's even, like, classical piano that, like,
right.
and there's just, like, a few beats on the bottom track, like, mm-hmm. that kind of add to it. Or there's even, like, there's one where it's just, like, people having a conversation.
Yeah.
And then there's just, like, a slight drum in the background.
Uh-huh.
And it sounds really weird to, like, bump to that, but
right.
it's just, like, the whole thing is so abstract, but it's really cool.
Right.
So I feel like there's definitely, like, there's even some upbeat, like, songs that Evie, I think I mentioned,
mm-hmm.
That they've dropped before, and I, like, listen to that, and it's a lot more upbeat, so I feel like there's really no limit to, like, what kind of sound lo-fi can have.
Right.
I feel like I see it sticking around for quite some time.
I agree.
Especially that Chilled Cow channel.
Yeah,
like,
no,
that is made, like, even if you just, like, go on there to read the chat and listen
the
to the music in the
great.
Background.
Oh my
like,
god. The chat, like, some of the things people say in the chat is just beautiful.
People in the chat will, like, pick one person in the chat and just rail them, like, bully. Like, and I feel kind of bad. Like,
right.
I'm watching this person be destroyed, like, online. They're like, hey, like, I'm logging back on. And then, like, everyone's like, we'll log off. Like, we didn't want you.
Oh,
I'm just like,
Lo-fi chat rooms, man. They're vicious.
They're savage.
They like, are savage.
Proceed with caution.
I guess
so. You
gotta
type in there because, I mean,
don't be
it's
coming
like
in there
cult.
With some stupid shit, man.
No.
You're gonna get your ass
kicked. Yeah. No, it's funny.
I like what you said about how, like, it's just taking, like, everyday things, like a conversation
mm-hmm.
or, like, driving with cars and stuff like that. I think what makes lo-fi really appealing nowadays is when you're listening to a lot of mainstream stuff,
mm-hmm.
just the richness of it and how, like, overproduced it is.
Oh, definitely.
And
like, poppy.
Yeah, and, like, with lo-fi, it's just, like, it's just so simple.
Yeah,
like,
it's very
just,
toned down.
It is.
Like, even, like, the beats, like, the bass line of it is just so soft. But it's like, there, but it's subtle. Like, everything is very subtle, and it mixes really well together. There's nothing that's, like,
right.
overly, like, taking charge. It's just, like, this very mellow, like, evened out
mm-hmm.
piece
like,
of...
there's not something that's overpowering.
Yeah,
like, there's
exactly.
There's just a simpleness to it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about lo-fi, too, is with that people aren't, like, overproducing anything, it's really opened up to almost anybody can produce lo-fi.
Yeah.
If you get the right keyboard and the right setup.
Mm-hmm.
And
definitely.
You kind of see this, not even with lo-fi, but even, like, with the pop scene and the indie
mm-hmm.
scene as well, this rise of, like, bedroom musicians,
oh,
like,
definitely.
In terms of, like, just, it's still really catchy, good music.
Yeah.
But the production value, you're not spending, like, $20,000 to use a
yeah,
studio.
Exactly.
Like, you're making it happen
on your
computer.
You're making it out of your, like, bedroom. It's literally bedroom
yeah,
music. It's,
literally,
I don't know.
Yeah, do you
yeah.
see that continuing? I mean,
definitely.
It's definitely
I think
been
that,
popular
I
nowadays.
Think that adds, like, I feel like it's going to be kind of the next wave of everything, is, like, how people can just easily, like, drop a track on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Or, like, I don't know. Even, like, I know bands will sometimes record part of an EP in, like, just a random, like, on a tour bus or something, and they, like, put that in there, that it's, like, oh, this was just recorded on a tour bus, like, it wasn't, like, I feel like that kind of adds a more organic, like, it's, like, a closer connection to the artist, almost, because you see that they're, like, just putting the time in on their own time, rather than, like, spending, like you said, like, upwards to, like, $20,000 to, like, book out a studio for however many days or weeks.
There's a feeling of like authenticity to it, you know, and I think that's what like our generation specifically is like valuing the most. Like, we have such a good like sense of knowing when something's like fake or like forced or something.
Yeah.
And like when you're looking at like music and like, you know, pop culture and like clothing and stuff, we're valuing more of like the artistic value and the authenticity, no matter who you are or like who you know.
For sure.
We just are valuing art for what it is, so I think that's really cool for sure.
No, definitely.
Do you have any favorite, like, kind of branching off from lo-fi, like chill hop, like, do you have any just favorite like bedroom musicians, in the sense that like they're not like making super overproduced stuff?
I mean, I feel like a lot of indie music in general is just very, like, even if they record it in a studio, it's so toned down that it's, like, one of my favorite bands of all time, like, more recently is Turnover.
Yeah.
They released two, it's funny because they actually started off as, like, a punk pop, like.
Yeah.
But they, it's their last that, two the albums, there. Their last two albums were more indie focused, and the guy's vocals are just so soft and everything, like, the drum beat is almost always the same, like, they use the same chords, but it mixes together so well. I don't know if they put it together in a studio or where they put it together, but, yeah.
The finished product comes out good. Just really that, good. You know, toned. I like it, the description you give, like, the tone down, just, like, it almost feels like a lot of, like, indie in that style. It almost feels like you are just, like, packing your things up and you're, like, headed to the beach, you know?
Definitely.
Just like that, I don't know. It's just the toned down, authentic sound to it, and I love it. I think it'll definitely be here to stay.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I was having a conversation with one of my friends here in terms of, like, musical influence and then, like, consumer influence. And, like, I think that there's artists that, like, drive influence in terms of listeners.
Yeah.
But then there's artists that drive, like, music that gets made. So, like, you have the artists that are, like, pushing the boundaries of, like, what's popular.
Yeah.
Then you just have, like, the super popular artists, like the Drake and the Arianas, that just have, like, a ton of followers and whatnot. But I think when you look at, like, lo-fi and indie, I think it's going to start leaking into, like, bigger artists.
Yeah,
like, I could see Drake dropping like a lo-fi like beat or something like that.
Like a freestyle.
Yeah, like a low beat. Yeah. And I think it's definitely gonna like start driving some like hip hop and like just pop music like period.
Definitely.
I think it's definitely gonna be here to stay in terms of trends. So
no, and I really like that aspect more recently. Like another band that I've been listening to, The Skinny Limbs, they're really good. Really good band.
Go check them out.
Yep, check them out. They make all of their music not from a studio, very bedroom.
Yep.
A good sound, though, like genuinely a good sound.
Right.
But they, like, put a lot of time and effort into their music, and you can, it, like, generates in the sound. Like, you can, when you listen to it, it's just, like, I remember one of the first songs I listened to from them was like last year. They released it's called like Bad Timing Boy.
Okay.
And it's a really good song. Really good indie, like what we were talking about, like you just want to drive to the beach.
Right.
And it's just like, I don't know. Overall, like their sound is very it reflects like the way that indie and the way that lo-fi is moving right now, where it's a lot more organic, and I feel like a lot
sound.
Of people, like, especially in our generation, want to be so underground with everything,
yeah.
So they're trying to find artists that are, like, underground or, like, bedroomy or, like, not that well heard of, not that much, like, not heavily listened
the hipsters,
to. Like,
if
you can find an artist that has, like, less than 50,000 streams, like, that's, like,
like the before golden they blow ticket. Up.
That's
yeah,
like
it
the
is.
Golden
that
ticket.
Is like
you're
putting
like,
somebody onto somebody
yeah.
and they blow up.
And then they like become popular.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff, like, I feel like with our generation specifically, and even like the one below us, or even like the millennials, I don't
yeah.
know what we're considered.
Who
we're like
the fuck knows?
We're the confused.
The confused.
Couple of years
yeah.
that don't know what they're doing.
The in-between millennials that know
yeah.
what the fuck's going on.
That have no idea what's going on, like, in quote vines, but... Yeah.
Literally, though. No,
but,
definitely check out the Skinny Limbs if you haven't. I think that this might just be, like, for me personally, and I like what you said about, like, finding a band before they blow up.
Mm-hmm.
There's a part of me that doesn't like when they blow up, though, because it's like, it's my band.
Yeah,
don't you dare get popular,
yeah,
you know?
No, I remember, like, when the 1975 did become popular pretty quickly.
Right.
But, like, I don't know. From listening to their, like, EPs and having not very many people know about them to,
mm-hmm.
like, having them be, like... Someone sent me a post one time that was, like, the 1975 fan base is, like, one of the most annoying ones in the country.
And you're,
and
like...
And I was, like... like, laser
up.
Eyes, I was, like,
uh-huh.
what did you just send me?
What
like,
the hell did
excuse
you just
me?
Say?
But, no, like, it was kind of, like, happy but sad to watch
yeah.
them blow up. Because it's,
uh-huh.
like, now there's this whole new aspect... That, like, people, like, when you say, oh, I like the 1975, people are going to be like, oh,
like
you're so
like,
basic.
Yeah,
and that's,
exactly.
like, a huge insult in
right,
this,
exactly,
like,
in the space.
Yeah, but...
It's almost like seeing, like, your kid grow up and you're proud of them, but you
mm-hmm.
just want to keep them smaller.
Like, no.
And like, no. That's how I feel with Tame, for sure.
Yeah.
Especially, like,
definitely.
With their new stuff and, like, they're going to drop this album. They're going to take off into the stratosphere.
I've seen,
like,
some people that are like retweeting Tame Impala stuff, and I'm just
like name two other songs by
I'm
them.
I'm just like, you only know the less I know.
That's
the better.
All you know.
That's
you
all
best
you know.
It. That's all you know. And it came on shuffle one day, and you're like, oh, what is this? And you're just like, oh, I love Tame Impala. It's like you don't know shit. I could do a whole rant about that. I mean, I didn't make a whole Kevin Parker playlist with 200 songs he's produced or anything. I'm not bitter at
you're
all.
Like,
nah. Like, somebody sends me a Tame Impala meme and I just sip my tea, like...
You're like, we've been new.
We've been new. Well, I think that'll just about wrap up our conversation here. Thank you so much, Kayla, for coming on the show. Really appreciate your insights. Check out the Skinny Limbs for sure. And if you have any questions about getting into lo-fi, we'll definitely tag her socials and whatnot
yeah.
and descriptions and whatnot. So
the Chilled Cow playlist, though.
The Chilled
That's
Cow playlist.
That's what will get you in.
That'll
That's
get
what,
you
it'll
in.
It'll suck you in.
Just don't do some stupid shit and come in the chat with weak sauce.
Yeah, no, you have to be fully armored.
Enter at your own risk.
Well, guys, that's all the time we have for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, special thank you to my guest, Kayla Norris. It was very, very fun talking with her about lo-fi and whatnot, and I'm sure she'll come back on the show again. Based on what I've been seeing on social media, it looks like Joji and J. Cole are dropping projects over the weekend, so I am sure we'll touch on that in next week's episode. But in the meantime, I hope you guys have a fantastic day and a fantastic weekend. Peace.